This podcast is brought to you by Recontract, the leading software to automate your reconditioning process and streamline your entire used vehicle management process. Visit recontract.com to learn more. That's recontract.com.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to Daily Drive for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, executive editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Jake Neer in Detroit, in for Kellen Walker. Today on the show, BMW gives dealers a look at new products and its retail strategy. Cruise is putting vehicles back on the road in Phoenix, and Group One went on a buying spree in the first quarter. Plus, predictive analytics firm Cloud Theory has new data that suggests there's an untapped market for EVs, but can automakers afford to reach it?
A lot of the manufacturers, and I would even venture to say most of the manufacturers and most of the EVs that they're producing and selling right now, are losing money on every unit that they sell.
Cloud Theory's Rick Wainschel joins us in a few minutes, but first, let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
BMW will bring nearly 40 new and updated products to market over the next 5 years. That's what the German automaker's executives told dealers at a meeting last week. At the two-day confab at the Aria Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, BMW briefed its retailers from across the Americas on strategic priorities and offered an early look at nearly 10 new and redesigned models in the pipeline. Dealers saw the redesigned X3 and X5 crossovers, the freshened 2 Series Grand Coupe and i7 electric sedan, and next-generation electric sedan and crossover concepts. One dealer told us at Automotive News, quote, "The product is just unreal. Companies like Tesla should be shaking in their boots because BMW's electric stuff is outrageous." Dealers say BMW is also promising more collaboration with its retail network. Executives say the company will lean in on mobile app technology and data sharing with dealerships to improve the customer experience and drive loyalty and after-sales revenue. A BMW spokesperson declined to comment on the presentations. You can read more at autonews.com.
Self-driving tech company Cruise has started laying the groundwork for its return. Executives from the General Motors subsidiary say starting today, they will begin taking small steps toward a long-term goal of resuming driverless service. Those steps take place in Phoenix, where human drivers will operate Cruise vehicles for the purposes of creating maps and gathering road information. Autonomous driving systems will not be engaged, nor will the vehicles carry public passengers. Cruise has been working to earn the public's confidence after one of its cars struck and dragged a pedestrian in San Francisco in October. Company spokesperson Pat Morsi said in an email that the company had not set a timetable for deploying its robo-taxis.
Tesla has reached a settlement on the eve of its highest profile trial yet over a crash involving its autopilot driver assistance system. Terms of the settlement weren't disclosed in court filings made public Monday in state court in San Jose, California. The case centered on Walter Huang, a 38-year-old Apple engineer who was killed on the way to work in 2018 when his Model X veered off the highway and slammed into a roadside barrier at about 71 miles per hour. The National Transportation Safety Board's investigation found that Huang was probably distracted by a video game app on his iPhone, while also pointing to limitations with the autopilot system. Tesla and a spokesperson for the Huang family's lawyers didn't respond to requests for comment from Bloomberg.
Group One Automotive acquired at least 9 U.S. stores in the first quarter, adding almost $1 billion in projected revenue. The Houston dealer group competitively pursued high revenue acquisitions in the quarter. The acquisitions spanned from California to South Carolina in at least 3 major deals. So far in 2024, Group One has nearly surpassed its total acquired expected annual revenue for all of 2023. Group 1 ranks number 4 on Automotive News' list of the top 150 dealership groups based in the U.S., retailing more than 175,000 new vehicles last year.
And Lucid Motors says its first quarter deliveries surged 40% from a year earlier. It delivered nearly 2,000 Air sedans after sharply cutting prices in mid-February and sweetening its lease deals. Lucid says it produced more than 1,700 Airs in the quarter. And those are today's headlines.
Jamie, Lucid, one of those companies that could really use some good news. And Cruise is also on that list. And today it announced that they're putting vehicles back on the road in Phoenix. How big of a deal is this?
You know, after being basically shut down for half a year, it's an important step, important to show some, you know, signs of life there at Cruise. But, you know, it is so incremental. This is not a matter of putting their robo-taxis back on the road. They're not generating any revenue. They're just trying to prove that they can do some things in a city and not cause trouble. So I guess that's an important start. They say they like Phoenix. They have a lot of connections there, but not a guarantee that Phoenix will be the place it starts to offer its new service again. Time will tell.
Big headline considering the news we've heard from Cruise recently, but there's a long road ahead.
For sure.
Coming up, Ford's recent discounts on the Mach-E might just prove there's a large untapped market for EVs. Cloud Theory's Rick Wainschel joins the show to talk about what that means. That's next on Daily Drive.
Managing your used inventory is not exclusive to one person or one part of the dealership. What does the communication look like between sales and service? Are your vehicles getting passed from trade-in to recon with no hiccups? What is your average cycle time to get a used car frontline ready? There is a lot to keep track of all at once. Right now, you could be experiencing 3 major issues with your recon information causing process breakdowns. 1, lack of visibility into recon pricing to inform the appraisal process. 2, no access to that appraisal information when working through recon approvals. 3, missed information and process bottlenecks trying to manage a vehicle across multiple systems and tools. Full insight throughout your entire process is crucial to making your used car department the most efficient and profitable it can be. Recontract combined with AutoVision creates an end-to-end tool for your used car department to address these breakdowns. With access to live appraisal information and reconditioning approvals, you get a single view of every vehicle with all the data you need right in one place. Make more educated decisions on your used car inventory faster with all your data easily accessible at any stage. Visit info.recontract.com/autovision for more information. That's info.recontract.com/autovision.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Jake Neer. Discounts that began in February of up to $8,100 on lingering 2023 Ford Mustang Mach-Es did their job. Data analytics firm Cloud Theory says sales went up and inventory went down. The company says it's the latest example of a big hurdle automakers face in the transition to electric vehicles. Sales data shows that customers are willing to make the switch to an EV at the right price, which is a challenge for automakers such as Ford that lose thousands of dollars on each one they sell. Rick Wainschel is Vice President of Data Science and Analytics with Cloud Theory. He joins me now to talk about what it all means for the industry and its EV transition. Rick Wainschel, welcome to Daily Drive.
Good to be here.
You did some interesting analysis recently about the Ford Mustang Mach-E, the remaining 2023s in particular. What did you find?
Well, we found that starting with the pricing action that Ford took that occurred on February 20th, we saw an immediate jump in Ford vehicle movement. We capture information from dealers' websites across the entire United States, 99% plus of the inventory that is captured on those dealer websites. And we saw a an immediate doubling of Mach-E vehicle movement, vehicles being removed from those dealer websites as a proxy for sales. And we've seen over the course of the last month and a half or so, an enormous increase in Mach-E vehicle movement. Just to give you an idea, since that February 20th date when that pricing action was taken, the movement has gone up 306% on the Mustang Mach-E. And they've been dwindling down that inventory. That's the intent of this action, is to work through that 2023 inventory. Their inventory is down about 27% since that action was taken.
That sounds like meaningful progress, but gosh, here we are in early April. That sounds like they're still sitting on a lot more 2023s than you'd want to have.
Correct. They have, overall, they have a little over 17,000 Mach-Es in active inventory currently on dealer websites. About 13,000 of those vehicles are the 2023 models. So the 2024s are starting to flow in, but the 2023s are still there and still having to have those aggressive incentives, aggressive pricing actions taken in order to work through that inventory and make room for the 2024s.
So when Ford cut the prices, the pace of sales increased, sort of, you know, standard expectations, I guess, for supply and demand. But it really does show, you know, I think a lot of people have been out there saying, well, nobody wants EVs anymore. Everybody who wanted one already got one. But it kind of shows that consumers are interested in EVs, but they're really waiting for better prices.
That is very correct. And I think there's two sides of this coin. Exactly what you said. On one hand, you do have consumers that are interested, have been researching these vehicles, finding benefits from them, but the price point hasn't been there for them to take that action. Something like what happened with the Mach-E, and by the way, also with the Ford F-150 Lightning, similarly, where the price was reduced and consumers came in and took action and took advantage of those pricings. Now, one thing to note is that EVs still have challenges to them. So just to give you an idea and put some numbers to this, we collect a metric at Cloud Theory called turn rate, which is the percentage of inventory in a 30-day window that moves, that sells, essentially. Prior to this pricing action that Ford took with the Mach-E, their turn rate was 6%. And so one out of 16 vehicles, roughly, was selling in a 30-day window, one out of 16 vehicles in inventory. The overall turn rate for the industry, not EVs, but just in general, is 44%.
A lot healthier. That's about like a 70-day supply kind of thing. Yeah, right. Much better mix. Yeah.
Just how challenged the Mach-E was before this pricing action. And, you know, dealers were dealing with vehicles that were, you know, getting aged on the lot and, you know, having to deal with that. The turn rate after this pricing action was taken is now at 29% since that February 20th date. So 29% is very respectable and much better, of course. Still not at that 44% level that we see for the industry at large, but certainly better. And I think it speaks to what you asked, that there are people who are interested in these vehicles. There absolutely is a market for EVs, but the industry hasn't found its way to that balance between supply and demand yet. So much of the production that's occurred since, you know, a lot of the OEMs are really striving to and planning for the regulatory realities of the early 2030s, trying to get vehicles out, trying to get new models and get their foothold established in this space. Everyone is doing that. And so that's resulted in an oversupply situation. And you have these sort of issues like with Mach-E or F-150 Lightning and many other vehicles in this segment. But in this short run, to deal with that oversupply situation, manufacturers, and Ford is not alone in this. You see what Tesla has done. You see what Chevy has done with the Blazer EV. A lot of examples of this where discounting is required in order to get consumers to move in this direction and take these actions.
It seems to point to a bigger problem in the industry, at least for the short to medium term. It's hard as heck to make money on EVs, even at fairly high prices. And if consumers are demanding lower prices, I mean, nobody wants to, they can meet the demand at lower prices, but then they're going to lose even more money potentially.
And that's the rub right there, is a lot of the manufacturers, and I would even venture to say most of the manufacturers and most of the vehicles that they're producing and selling, the EVs that they're producing and selling right now, are losing money on every unit that they sell. So, and that's already at the higher level of pricing that they were at. The fact that these discounts are required in order to move them really points to a problem that exists with this segment. And I think that you're seeing the reality of that starting to come to bear, not only in the at the OEMs or at the dealerships, but also if you look at, it was just announced not too long ago that the Biden administration is relaxing some of the dates on the EPA regulations that are forcing the hands of these OEMs. What was a 2032 deadline is starting to slip. So much of what's happening at the OEM level and moving in this direction is driven by those regulations. And the fact that the current administration is seeing the reality of that play out, I think, is helping. And it's helping to ease a bit of angst that exists within the industry. But the realities are still there. And I do think that the future of the automotive industry is going to move in the EV direction, but maybe not as fast or at the level as was once anticipated.
Yeah, it was only 2 years ago, it kind of seemed like EV demand could be, Elon Musk used to say it was infinite. And now it seems pretty finite. But a lot of moving pieces, both automakers working on more affordable vehicles, and also, of course, everyone investing, I say everyone, but automakers, the government, private companies, all investing to build out the charging network, which is also a big obstacle for people to adopt EVs.
Well, so two things that you said that are interesting. One is, if you think about a couple of years ago, we were talking about turn rates, now being in for EVs overall, it's 29%, which is equal to what we see for the Mach-E. So that's the EV number in general. But a couple of years ago, before this big ramp up in production, there was about a 6 month period in 2022 where the turn rate was above 100%, meaning every vehicle that showed up on a dealer's lot was selling. Back in the day, right, for the deal, for the OEMs. And then that overproduction occurred, and now here we are. The other thing that you mentioned is this charging infrastructure. So a lot of the concerns that, pricing isn't the only thing that's holding consumers back. If you look at a lot of the surveys that have been out there and, other information that's been collected, it really has to do with charging anxiety, range anxiety. And it's not so much that you can't charge a vehicle, but you have to go and look for a place to charge it and spend a good amount of time doing so. So it's not like, you're going on a road trip or you're driving around town. There's a gas station on every other corner. You know how to do that. It's going to take you 3 minutes to fill up a vehicle. Consumers recognize that it's not as easy to do that with an EV. And so there are other aspects of the ownership experience that are causing the reluctance. And so all of those things are going to have to move in a more mainstream direction in order, pricing being one of them, but certainly, the logistics and the infrastructure and the mindset of consumers to feel more comfortable. All of that is going to have to move. It's almost kind of a Manhattan Project level sort of move in a whole different direction for the industry.
Well, hopefully with a better outcome for society at the end. Rick Wainschel, Vice President of Data Science and Analytics at Cloud Theory, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Jake Neer, in for Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News journalists Irvaksh Karkaria, Pete Bigelow, Paige Hodder, Lawrence Iliff, and Michael Martinez for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on EV sales, new products and retail plans, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for my conversation with auto design journalist Laura Burstein.
We hear a lot about AI and large language models and things like that. Design is going to change because you will no longer need a bunch of buttons or trackpads or touchpads or whatever when you can just tell the car to do something. And unlike some voice recognition systems of today, it actually does it and actually hears you correctly.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.